The K-Rock Football Pre-Game Interview.
So we've got Stage 5 underway, $142 million, starting to take shape before our eyes, and I think May next year is when we hope to have it online fully.
Yeah, late April, early May, Tom. Yeah, $142 million, Stage 5, 40,000-seat stadium, really excited. We've got a capacity of about 25,000 this year, and you know, terrific night tonight for everyone to come out and watch their Cat Boys live. But yeah, really looking forward to the step change in the stadium for 2023.
Yep. You're obviously now 6 months into your tenure as CEO. How are you finding the settling in period? And the first question is, what's challenging you at the moment as CEO of the Cats?
Oh, look, Tom, it's great to be back. I really enjoyed my my time at the AFL. It was a rich learning opportunity around stakeholder management and you know, a range of things that we worked through with the game. But being back at Geelong, it feels like I'm back in amongst family. You know, clearly, the 4 years away, I've learned a number of things, and so it's really just making sure that you're not. You know, you're not too forceful with any of that. You bring people along and get them to you know, circling behind a business plan and also some guiding principles that we've developed post COVID. Everyone's been so separated for such a long time. One of the drivers for me coming in has been to reconnect our high performance programs right across the whole club and make sure that people feel. You know, reconnected to the Geelong Cats.
Hi, Steve. Peter Ryan here. Good luck tonight. Just on that, you made a lot of changes in the football department to work alongside Chris Scott. Can you take us into your thinking behind those changes and getting a lot of ex-players back into the footy department?
Yeah, hi, Peter. Look, it was certainly... there were 16 changes to the football program and... a lot of us have focused on just the return of those former players, you know, highly valued players. A number of those guys have been away in other programs. You know, guys like James Kelly and Matthew Egan have got great experience you know, through other clubs. So really good to bring that knowledge into the club. And you know, we've gone broader than that as well. You know, Harry Taylor. His experience as a physio, he's managing the medical and fitness area of the club. You know, we had a situation last year where we brought in Jeremy Cameron. He had you know, three hamstrings in a year, and so you need to analyse that. You know, that's certainly something that needs to be looked at. We've got three or four new physios in the program as well as part of that 16. So yeah, just a freshness of decision making, and it's certainly help the playing group. They're enjoying the different voices. Eddie Betts has been part of it. Shannon Burns. Now Shannon came out of the Melbourne program, so you clearly pick up knowledge, and you know, that's transferable and helps us keep pace and hopefully get ahead of it.
What about, we just saw the VFL had a good win against Brisbane, and there's obviously a lot of players who have been great players for the club, but everyone's talking about when we get to see the next crop coming through. What's your... I suppose, not direction to the footy department, but what approach would you like to see them take in blooding those guys?
I think if we just go back to last Saturday night, Pete, and have a look at that last quarter, you know, what you're trying to do is you're trying to transfer knowledge and overlay that on younger players. And that was just an incredible experience, you know, whether it be at the SCG a week earlier or... come from behind win on Saturday night. You know, the players that really contributed heavily through that last quarter were Max Holmes and you know, Jeremy Cameron, not as young, but certainly newer to the club. Tyson Stengel, you know, Sam DeConning. Yeah, really, really pleased to see them go through that and have that opportunity. And then we've got a new crop as well that are coming through. A lot of our members that are there, you know, currently sitting in the stands watching curtain raise will have seen Holly Dempsey run around and Cooper Stevens and Cooper White as well. And yeah, so you know, you want them to get good game time and bring the right form. And Holly Dempsey's been part of the emergencies over the last couple of weeks. So, you know, he's not far off. So it's really just getting a blend, Pete. I think you've got to be careful you don't tip over, you know, too far one way, either, you know, too young or too experienced. Somewhere in the middle is about right, and just trying to achieve that balance.
Oh, yeah, four goals for Ollie Dempsey in the VFL tonight. We're speaking with Geelong CEO Steve Hogging. Here's Ben Casanelli on Carrick Footy.
Steve, do you share the philosophy of your predecessor, Brian Cook, that the club can't afford to be down the bottom reaches of the AFL table?
Ben, look, yeah, Brian's done an amazing job at Geelong. I think, you know, we all credit him and Frank Costa and Colin Carter, you know, for just an incredible period and leadership. The competition's always changing, and there's opportunities now. You know, if we look 10 years ago, there wasn't a SSP period, there wasn't a mid-season rookie period. There's definitely more movement around players. Players are now looking to you know, go to clubs and programs that have supportive environments and you know, high performance programs. So we're sort of playing in that space. So you know, I'm not sure that you really need to you know, take that 5-year plan as a future consideration. I think you can be doing it on the run and certainly just evolving over time. And I think, you know, Geelong's been just incredible how they've been able to do that, you know, over the last decade, and will continue to do it because there's mechanisms that are now available, and we'll certainly explore all those avenues to remain competitive.
Steve, Neil to here, mate. Good luck tonight. With your own role, clearly you've got an enormous knowledge base of the footy department, you know, and how match committee works and list management and coaching and those types of things. And you've got the business stuff that you've picked up along the way, particularly over the last 4 years. How challenging is it for you to balance that now within the footy club, about time spent in the footy department and time spent in the commercial part of the club?
Yeah, look, it's a really good point, Mark. One of the things that I have done across the first 6 months is I don't have an office within the building, and that's very deliberate. I think that you know, I'm new back at the club. There's a lot of new staff that have come into the club since I've been away. As I said earlier, COVID has hit as well, and you know, separated a lot of people. So I work each day at a hot desk in each different department, whether that be membership, commercial, you know, across finance, down in football. I'm moving each day, and you know, part of the reason and the philosophy behind that is to connect with the people. They need to know, you know, the standards that I expect from staff and overall from the club. So I'm finding the balance that way, Mark. And you know, there's really good people in football. You get a small window between October through to November, mid-November, to reset football. And we did that, and we got to work really quickly, and then I've come out of that. You know, it's important that, you know, the people who have been appointed, you know, take full ownership and leadership on that, and the people who have been there previously as well. And I've moved into other parts of the club to support them and provide leadership where required. So, yeah, I certainly hope, if you were to ask staff members, that they're seeing enough of me across all parts of the business.
Thanks for that insight. That's terrific. That's a really good, I suppose, look and how you're going about it. Now, one for me, right on the game. You mentioned to Pete before about the last quarter, and it was exciting, and the brand of footy that the Cats played with was amazing. Can you tell us what was going through your mind at three-quarter time?
Oh, look, I was actually sitting next to Vice President Diana Taylor, and she looked at me and said, OK, what do we hope to get from this last quarter? And I said, well, finding form leading into the Brisbane game is really important. That's what we need to see. And then I sort of stood up in the stand and had a look at how we were going about it at three-quarter time, and I saw Chris Scott, you know, come down from the box, and he very quickly grabbed the group, and rather than sort of, you know, separating out into the smaller groups and providing feedback and intel, you could just sense that there was a collective mindset that was going on. There was no pointing of the fingers. You know, they had a genuine belief that they could you know, they could come together and really find it within themselves as a collective to you know, come back at Collingwood. I know it's easy to say that in hindsight, but I genuinely did look at that, and having that knowledge, you know, you've spoken about before, you sort of sit there. I sat back down next to Diana and just said that, you know, we might build a little bit beyond just finding form. Let's just see where this last quarter takes us. So full credit to the group to be able to achieve that. It really was a, you know, an outstanding collective performance.
Steve, this might sound like a strange question for a footy club that's been as successful as the one that you run at the moment, but on any level, do you feel like there's been, and COVID may have played a part in this, but do you feel like there's any disconnect between the fans and the footy club on some level? And is that part of your role to mesh those in?
Look, I think that, yeah, there's no doubt that, that has happened right across the competition. So we're not on our own there, Ben. I think that, you know, you have a look at the crowd attendances over the first three rounds. They're definitely down on what, you know, what the AFL would have liked. And I think a lot of people's habits and rituals have actually changed. And you know, we've just, I said this the other morning, you know, I've lived in board shorts and a business shirt for the last 2 years on Teams meetings because you just haven't been able to connect with anyone. So I think people have got comfortable with that. But having, you know, like being in the fortunate position I am where I'm able to attend, you know, games, like there's nothing like live sport. And I think it's just going to take time to bring that back. And part of that is tonight, you know, having our members, you know, back at Gene HBA Stadium. And we've got work ahead of us to be talking to them, not at them, and making sure that they feel connected to their club and, you know, and a genuine connection, a deep connection to, you know, to the Cats. And I think largely that's been the case, but it's been hard for everyone across, you know, COVID. I don't want to, you know, keep backing over that, but it has been really difficult for people to navigate that that period and then, you know, come out of it and reconnect, you know, whether it be sport or work or whatever, family as well.
Speaking of not backing over it, Steve, but I have to ask a question. Has Chris Scott put the put his signature to that contract, or is it still in the same, working through some of the details?
No, details are all sorted, Peter. Yeah, it'll be done you know, pretty much any week now, any day. So everything's agreed, and you know, we're really pleased about that.
That's good news. And just on the topic of the week in a broader sense around watching Hawthorn's handling of or dealing with some of the issues that have arisen around Cyril Rioli. How's your footy club placed in dealing with their Indigenous group and I suppose the wider community around Geelong in that regard and what needs to happen?
Oh, look, Peter, I think there's, you know, hopefully no one's sitting there looking at Hawthorn and going, you know, that's happening over there and it's, you know, it's potentially not happening elsewhere. I think there's learnings in it for all of us. And really, you know, what you want across the board is just a really inclusive environment. You know, we've got, if you have a look at football clubs, they've gone from being largely just male-based programs. They're co-ed programs now. And you know, even the emergence of that, you know, has required a shift in the way that you know, you integrate how you run programs, how you share facilities and so forth. So it's just it's an ongoing thing. I think there's, you know, substantial change going on and it's all for the better and we all learn and you know, gain a greater understanding. And I think it's really important that we learn ourselves. It's not incumbent on others to educate us. It's definitely up to each individual to, you know, to recognise that we've got to be as inclusive as possible.
And Steve, one last one before we let you go. I know you'll probably say you'll explore avenues as you did to a question earlier, but do you expect a change in philosophy in terms of the club has been very free agent based and topped up to try and win a premiership and has got close without actually achieving that goal? And hopefully that might happen this year. But, you know, for the fans out there, do you expect maybe a subtle shift or a bigger shift towards the draft and depending upon your ladder position as you try and rebuild to have another crack? Because I'd imagine where this list is at the moment, you know, 2, 3, 4 years' time, a lot of these guys playing tonight, you know, potentially aren't running around at the club.
Look, I think, Ben, if you have a look at what we've done across the pre-season, we've plugged in Matt Egan as head of development. We've brought in Shannon Burns. Nigel Lappin's working in that area as well. We've also got Josh Jenkins. We've got Eddie Betts. We've gone from one person working in that space. We've got, four or five. It's one of the bigger departments across the competition now within player development. That's a deliberate approach from our end. We went heavy in the draft. Just gone. We'll do the same thing in the next draft. I think for people, members, they understand the direction we're going, and we'll always play in a number of different spaces. But we've set ourselves up to have players available and ready to go for future years.
Steve, appreciate your time tonight. Wish you the best of luck. Look forward to talking to you again soon.
Thanks, Tom. Thanks, everyone.
Steve Hocking joining us there, Footy Spotlight. Thanks to Rex Gorrell Geelong, providing an outstanding motoring experience.
The K-Rock Football Pre-Game Interview.